right, this is JPEG Raw, show number 218 here on August 7th. Last one we take before Tim runs off to Disney World.
Woohoo!
As he's got his Disney shirt on.
There you go, wishes.
In the opposite end of the United States, I have my Alaska Icy Straight Point shirt on, which I still wish I was at. So I got a couple things to show. I got some show and tell tonight, Tim.
Okay, cool.
We're going to get to that in a second. Remember last week I brought up the ultimate, what was it called? The ultimate lens cap.
Mm-hmm, you're going to buy that.
Yeah, the video didn't play well. I'll play it. Let's see if it works this time. The video didn't play very well. But we talked about this thing, and not going to have audio because they probably have music in it.
The video is definitely much better this week.
They'll have music in it, and they'll kick me off of YouTube or whatever else. But this was, I think, a Kickstarter thing. It's, what is it? KUVRDcamera.com. And so I did order one. We'll see when it gets here. I don't plan on doing that with my lens.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can imagine just picking it up and throwing it, because the shock of it still is not good for the elements inside. Yeah, the outside may look perfect, but I mean, yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
I got to imagine adds a tiny bit of extra, cushioning.
Protection.
But heck, the thing is still, super thin. It's not going to add that much. But I ordered it, like we said last week, heck, I can take my lens cap off with one hand now. That's not really a problem for me.
Use two hands.
It's not really a problem for me, so it, for me, it's solving a problem that doesn't exist. But hey, it was what, $25. I order it, see what it's like, and if it doesn't work that well, if I don't care about it, it's $25. What do I care? So we'll see. And AD says, I'm going to bet you have a problem with humidity. Yes, I'm not going to put that thing in water. I only ordered one, so this is, I guess, a lens.
Right, you're not covering both sides of it.
Yeah, this is a small lens where they covered both sides with it. Still, I'm not going to dip it in water, doss it in sand, whatever.
No.
So, anyway, so that is that thing. If we couldn't play it very well last week,
I'm looking forward to your review of that. I'm going to say you're going to use it, and you're going to stop using it relatively quickly after.
Yeah, because I think I'm going to get tired of having to use both hands to take my lens cap off.
Right, that's what's going to be.
Or both. Off. You probably take it off with one hand. It's the putting it back on is probably going to require.
All right, so now when you take your lens cap off, where do you put it normally?
Depends on what I'm doing. If I am standing there with my tripod or something like that, I might just put it in my pocket.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to put this into your pocket? That looks too big to fit into a pocket.
Well, it does crunch up pretty big. So it's rubber. I think it's rubberized. Right. So it will get pretty small.
Oh, yeah. I see. And he's talking about going in and out of a hotel. Yeah. I'm going to be down in Disney next week. And I know when I walk out of the hotel room, it takes my camera a good 15, 20 minutes before the lenses unfog themselves because of the humidity. It's so cold in the room, and then you get outside. I haven't come up with a good solution to that.
Yeah. And he's saying that this product may actually make it worse.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see. I can't imagine. Maybe I'll give it away later on.
There you go.
So speaking of, last week we had lens caps, that lens cap we just talked about. Tonight I'm going to show you a different twist, and this was a lens hood.
Okay.
So do you use lens hoods, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I think everybody uses. Well, I actually prefer that. I think we talked about that
versus
opposed to using a UV filter.
So I almost always use it. If the lens came with a hood, I almost always use it. So
it makes your lens look bigger, and everybody thinks you got something even more
exactly
more expensive.
Yeah. So how you impress the girls?
Going downhill fast.
Going downhill fast, yes. So have you ever shot through glass, maybe like in an aquarium or in a building or anything like that? When I was on the train coming, traveling to Alaska, I was trying to shoot out shoot through the glass on the train.
Right. So you put the lens right up against it.
Yeah, and sometimes that works. Sometimes, I got reflections coming back and all that kind of stuff. Well, there's something called the ultimate lens hood.
Oh, look at that thing.
And let's see. I'll play. Again, no audio because they do have video in here. But it's basically, this is a Kickstarter. I think the guy's goal was $10,000, and he's got $182,000 so far. That was Iceland, by the way, which is where I want to go.
And Niagara Falls, too.
Yeah. So basically, it's just a humongous rubberized lens hood that you stick on the front, and then you stick your camera up against it, and it gets rid of all the reflections.
I can absolutely see that working. That's something I do see working.
Yeah, and then he's showing it where you flip
I don't know
it.
How many people would buy it, but yeah. I think somebody that saw it would see this, and I think that'll be the hardest thing is the marketing of it.
Yeah,
I don't, but hey, you just showed it to, what, about 500,000 people?
Yeah. When I looked, well, you're still getting money, because when I looked at this morning, it was 176,000 maybe, or 172. So he's doing some more business. And there's even a cell phone version of this where you can, you know, do that. So does it have a, where's the price?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
20, well, that's in British pounds, so I'd have to do the conversion. But let's say $20, $30.
Yeah.
So it's not that expensive for that.
20 pounds to dollars is $25.89.
Yeah, so who knows? Mike may do this one too.
That is actually not a bad one. So that I would actually consider something like that, because I know there's probably been a half dozen times a year that I've done it. Definitely when I've gone to an aquarium, taking pictures of the animals inside there, I've put my camera up, and I've probably tried to huddle around my camera so that I don't have any reflections from behind me. So absolutely, I see that being a potential use. It looks a little big to carry that. But it's probably not heavy at all.
I mean, you would only use that when you needed to shoot through glass, which how often am I going to do that? And AD says, wait just 6 months, $5 on eBay.
Yeah, $5 on eBay.
So well, I think my use case for it is going to be very small. I'm rarely at a place where I would need this. But in those times when you are there, I wish I had something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's pretty cool. I actually can see that being more useful than that lens cap thing that we had.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes. I would agree with that.
Just for me, I probably wouldn't use it that much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim, you want to do one of your articles here? What you got?
Sure. I like the my first one up there. I saw this image. A photographer was taking pictures of lions drinking at night, and I couldn't imagine, when I saw the pictures, I couldn't imagine how he took the pictures. And it turns out he was 15 feet away.
15 feet.
15 feet. And if you slide through the slideshow there, it shows the enclosure he's sitting in, that he spent 15 hours waiting to take this picture. No flashes. Oh, well, that's not. Keep going. You got to keep going a couple more, Mike.
They interject a few other things.
Yeah, of course you got the advertising in there first. Oh. So there is the area that he sits in and waited.
Okay, that's
15
a little
hours
bit safer.
That looks
fairly safe.
I'm looking at it, and I think that it talked that he used LED lights to brighten the area so that you'd actually see him. But it's amazing pictures when I saw this, and I couldn't imagine. I had to read the article, and I was like, well, there you go, some creative way to go out there in nature. Yeah, you got to wait a lot of hours, because you're not going out there when they're walking up to their watering hole. You have to wait a while. Yeah. But it looks like the conditions aren't as bad as I initially thought, because I'm thinking that when I read 15 feet, I was like, what is he, like in a bush somewhere? How does this lion or tiger not realize he's there? And one of them is the lion, not a lioness as well.
The male, yeah.
But it was a pretty interesting way of getting different type of pictures that we'll never get an opportunity to get a picture like that.
No, but that looks like something that multiple people could be in. They could probably sell tickets to go in there and shoot, and maybe even have air conditioning.
Yeah, worry about getting out of there. Yeah, air conditioning. True. Probably no air conditioning.
True, you would have to wait for the lions to leave before you could get out.
You have to wait.
You got to get, like you said, you got to get there before they get there. Yes. And then you would need to wait till they leave to get out.
I wonder, did the lions had to realize they were there, but you know what? They need their water. They do all their hunting at night anyway. They don't move mostly during the day, or not a lot during the day.
Is that glass in front of them?
I couldn't tell. I got to imagine there's something there, but if it's a small opening for the lens, I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't really tell. I thought it was an opening, but I can't really tell.
Well, from the reflection, it was kind of looking like that's glass. And so it could be the lions, you know, didn't know they were there if they're being quiet.
I think about it. You're out in the savannah. I'm assuming this is savannah, very quiet, and you're going to hear click, 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 click.
True. Once you start shooting,
I mean, when there's nothing else around you, you're going to hear that. So yeah, they probably heard it, and you'll see them looking up in the general direction. So I thought it was a very interesting way of getting a picture.
Yeah, that is interesting. I go out and shoot birds in my backyard and stuff like that. And I do have a trick. I know that Sunday before last, we during a photo review show with AD, one of the people, several people submit birds, and mm-hmm. often you have the feeder with the bird, you know, cause that's
right.
If you put a feeder in your backyard, you're going to attract birds and attract stuff. And you know, if you like taking photos of birds, you're going to be out there taking photos of birds, and often you're going to get them with the feeder. So here's a trick for you. I don't have a photo to show an example, maybe next time, or maybe, you know, at some point. Here's a trick. Take a large stick or branch or something like that that's in your backyard. I have a bunch of them that I'm waiting for, being able to, mm-hmm. you know, burn them whenever burn season comes. Take a stick or something and put it somewhere near that bird feeder. In my case, I have multiple bird feeders, so the off to the side of one of them, I put a big stick hanging. It's like on a tree, going across, and then laying on top of the one bird feeder. So mm-hmm. right next to the main bird feeder, I have a large branch, not large, super large, but a branch going across, laying on top of that. The thought is that the birds will come in, they want to kind of perch somewhere before they go to the feed, or they're waiting for another bird to leave and a perch on that. So if you put that branch there and you know where your angle is going to be, you can then shoot the bird who's come there only for your bird food. You can shoot the bird on a branch.
He's waiting.
You can shoot the bird on a branch that looks like he's in total wild.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's one of those little tricks. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see if it pays off when I get a good one like that. But Nancy is one of the ones who shoots those birds. So if you have that opportunity, you can create a false environment right next to the other attraction, the feed.
The attraction.
Went out there tonight to go and try and take some right before we came, and the bird feeder's out of food, so there was no birds. Apparently they only show up when I have food.
Now, do you have problems with squirrels getting to the bird feeders, or?
Yeah, but we have those anti-squirrel ones that last until they figure out how to get around it.
I was going to say anti-squirrel until a week or two later and they figure it out.
Yeah. All right. You've never done stock photography, right?
No. No, so, I know you have. You still got a couple of pictures out there, right?
I do. And you still, I think I have 18. Whenever iStock Photo was new, I submitted photos, and I was submitting some, and I got up to like 18 or so photos. Then I kind of stopped. And for a while, I was doing pretty good. I was making, you know, $500 to $1,000 a year off those photos. Those 18 I put up and never did anything more. And what was kind of fun was the one that was selling the most was my youngest son eating a hot dog. Took it just when we were camping. It wasn't meant to be a stock photo. Just took it while we were camping, and it got submitted, and I've seen it in ads. I've seen it in on cover of a book, you know, something like that. We bought the book, of course, and seen it in different places. So all of these people that I took pictures of, a lot of it was stuff, but the people were my kids. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you take these things, you got to do a model release, because once you put it up for stock, you have really no more control over where that image is going to be used. There's some control where they, you know, I think at least when I was doing it, where they couldn't have been used in like porn or something like that. There was some stuff where the images that you bought from this program from iStock couldn't be used in certain types of ads. But other than that, it could have been used in anything. It could have been used in, you know, a medical condition ad. It could have been used in, you know, homeless person ad or any kind of ad like that. It could have been used in, which, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you know, whatever. I was hopeful that my son's image wouldn't be used bad. But there's other cases. So let's say this, what I was going to show you here is this is a girl in South Africa who, her and her friends did a photo shoot with a photographer who was doing a 100 faces, 100 faces, you know, photo, what do you call it? Photo project, 100 faces photo project. He had a model release for the sign. The model release stated that he could use it for his portfolio and he can also use it for other commercial purposes. They were just having fun with the photo shoot. They, I think they also got the headshots for whatever else they might have used it for. And years later, like 6 years later, a friend of hers said, hey, did you notice that your photo's being used by the Canadian government? She's from South Africa, but I say Canadian government in an immigration ad. And she goes, what? So, you know, looked at it and found out that that's the case. And then as she started doing reverse image searches, found that it was used in all kind of things. I think this is the immigration ad for Canada. Found it was used dentistry ad, skin condition ad. You know, some of these might also do a little bit of Photoshop manipulation. So they might have added some skin conditions to show before and after. And then... what else? I think it's also showed in testimonials. So like when you see those ads.
Testimonial. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When you see those ads, it says Phoebe Lopez, you know, campaign manager says this about this product. I think we all knew that that wasn't Phoebe Lopez, that that was, you know, some actor or a stock photo. Most of these things you see today, if there's not a necessarily a product in it, are stock photos. So, you know, that one, you know, here you see Phoebe Lopez, campaign manager, and down below, here's Phoebe Lopez saying, I enjoy being a foster carer, whatever. I find it fulfilling. I think they're talking about, like child care or something like that. And then here's Phoebe.
Talk about your false advertising.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, used all over the place. So she was a little shocked by what, you know, how's my image getting everywhere? And then went back and remembered that, oh, I did this photo shoot with this photographer. So I reached out to the photographer and he showed her the contract. So it was all on the up and up. And she did ask him, hey, can you stop selling it from here forward? And he was kind enough to say, he didn't have to. He was kind enough to say, okay, I'll go ahead and take it down. But of course, anybody who's already bought it can continue to use it for whatever license they bought it for. So, you know, the thing there, she was a little upset she wasn't making money from this, but, you know, you signed an agreement stating that he had the right. So, you know, you don't get money from it. And he might not be making as much money as you think. He's not getting rich. You know, like for me, I would, especially if you do it through like something like iStock, I made a little bit of money from each person who bought it. And then they were able to go do whatever they want to with it within limits. There was rules on what you could use it for and the volume of what you could use it for. But I definitely wasn't getting rich. So if somebody wanted to cut, somebody wanted a cut of that money, like, you know, you're going to get like 37 cents. You're not going to get a whole bunch of money here. But if you don't want your image being used like that, that is something, you know, to be careful of, you know, read that fine print. And I think as a photographer, if you intend to do that, you probably should mention that. Even though you're having them read the contract and sign it, if you plan on going out and using it as stock photography, something other than your own portfolio, I think you should tell the person up front, hey, I'm also going to use this for stock photography, and here's what that means.
Right. You know. But you never think somebody's going to take advantage of it like that, where they're going to have somebody's picture up everywhere.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's taking advantage of them, because you put it out on stock photography. And once you do that, you know, the images I have up on iStock, I don't know who bought them. They don't tell me who bought them.
Right. And you don't know how many times they may never be used, or they may have been used 1,000 times. This planet is pretty big.
And some of the agencies, some of the people who buy these might have a subscription where they can get so many a month. Right. And they may go out there and they say, oh, I like this one, this one, this one. And so they're building their own portfolio of these images. Right. So they may download over time thousands of these things. And when they go and do a certain ad, they look through their assets and go, oh, I want this one. And they put that out there. So, you know, they could have bought it from you and not used it for years. You know, so... I don't know. I every once in a while do a reverse image search on my youngest son's photo just to see where it's at and thinking, you know, oh, that's pretty cool.
Is there anything out there?
Yeah. He's been in an autism ad. He's been in Orlando had some kind of food pass program or something where you could do this food thing, and they had his photo there. So I show him every once in a while, And he did want a cut of my money.
And he was pretty young back
in the days. He was pretty young. He did want a cut of my money, but
a cut of it next to nothing is still nothing.
He did not get it. But just be aware that that's it. It's not somebody ripping you off necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that's an interesting article. So you had something from Best Buy.
Best Buy, yes. And I think everybody knows Best Buy. And what struck me with this one is not everybody has a B&H photo like I have not far from me. I walk to the train to come home from work, and I'll be able to get the B&H photo or your other local store. And if you've ever gone to Best Buy in the past, you've seen they sell cameras. They got them on those little pedestals and cheap cameras. Not a big selection of cameras. And I don't think I've ever even seen lenses. So forget about getting interchangeable lenses. So the writer of this article, Michael Flores, had the same experience, was never pleased with it, but he needed to find himself a part-time job. And he realized that Best Buy now has what they're calling camera experience shops. And there's about 120 of these CES shops throughout the U.S., and they're expanding. And they've partnered, according to this, with mainly Canon, Nikon, and Sony to have their brands in there. From the beginning models all the way up to DSLRs, they actually have people that are employees of the brands working there. So they have the knowledge. They send them to training the employees to work with the cameras. I think they also talked about that they have drones as well. So you got your drones, DSLRs. I don't know if it said point and shoots, but mirrorless cameras as well. So they're really trying to expand. It kind of makes me think of when I walk into B&H and you go into their segments and they'll have a, almost looks like separate booths from each of the main camera manufacturers and have all the cameras around it and very knowledgeable about it. So I think this is a great thing. And you think about all the people that you now see with cameras out there, more and more cameras, people buying them. Maybe Best Buy is tapping into this market and it's going to give you the opportunity to, in an area, to go see the camera, hold it in your hand, especially you think about how big some cameras are. Mm-hmm. Do I really want to hold this camera? I know I like to see it before I buy something. And as great as Amazon has on prices, sometimes you get the product that you ordered and it's like, oh, this is too one way or the other. So it gives you that opportunity to go there and then talk to somebody, explain it to you so you understand what is the best product for you. So I saw this as a really good good opportunity that Best Buy has, and it's going to come out to everybody. I think it's going to be beneficial.
So when I first saw this story, I thought it was going to be a negative story about Best Buy. So that's interesting to hear. I think you mentioned holding it, and I am biased toward Nikon. You know that I like Nikon. You like Sony. But when I tell people who don't have any lenses, don't have any friends with lenses, they're starting completely fresh, I say go somewhere where you can hold the Nikon, hold the Canon, hold the Sony, feel those cameras. I think any one of those would be a good choice.
I agree.
And I know some other people, Olympus and Fuji and some of the others, but I generally say those three. Go and hold them and feel which ones, feel it and decide for yourself which one you like. Either one of those systems is going to be good. So being able to go somewhere where you can physically hold it is good. Because I have a friend, a lady who works for me, who just bought a Nikon, and she bought it somewhere local. I don't know where she bought it, but she bought a Nikon 5600 or something like that, and doesn't know anything. I know you had an article we were going to talk about tonight. We may talk about later about ISO. What is ISO?
When I start to understand it after I read the article.
when I was just trying to explain to her the simple stuff, how to do exposure and the three things, I can tell, 30 seconds into it, I was over
way
her head.
Over the top, yes.
And, often
deer in headlights.
As you get into photography, you often forget about, those people who are just starting out, that all that stuff is foreign to them. Mm-hmm. And you got to really slow it down and really explain it. And it is, some of it is, if you're coming from this new, it's complex because everything has a trade-off. Shutter speed, fast and slow has a trade-off. you know, aperture or your f-stop, stopping it down wide open has a trade-off. When you get to ISO, it really just blows their mind. But it all has a trade-off, and, you know, telling them that. So I should have started with what I think is one of the number one things for a beginner, especially her, she has a young child, is here's the first step that you can improve your photos a lot. This is an easy one for them to remember, an easy one to do, and all the other stuff you still got to figure out, but this is the easy one, is get down to your subject's level, especially a child.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't take all your child's photos from 5 feet above, 6 feet above. Get down to their level. And then if you have blurry, out of focus, you know, underexposed, overexposed images, at least it's from their angle. and then you can start working on those other things.
I think that is the one tip I probably give out to people more than any other tip, whether they're using a camera, a cell phone, whatever. Exactly. Get down on that level, or even a little lower, sometimes taking a picture up toward the child, because nobody ever sees that vision, and it changes the whole outlook when you change that background.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right. Well,
I'm always pleased when I see them take a picture in the future doing it the way I said it.
You know,
that makes me feel good.
Whenever I was talking to her, showing her some things on the camera, and I know it was all just going over her head, and it was too much to absorb. It wasn't nothing against her. It's just a lot of information to a person new to the subject. And it really makes me want to say, you know what, I'm going to start holding an after work class once a week, once a month, something like that, where after work, for an hour, we're going to have, you know, photo club here at the office. And that's a commitment I'm not willing to do just yet. But
right.
I would love to do that. And then you can have some hands-on with some of these people. You know, eventually they'll outgrow me and they'll go past my skill level. So I talk about the fact that, you know, I'm not Yoda, like mm-hmm. 80s Yoda. And so he has the skill to train, mm-hmm. you know, what do you call it, Padawans. Is that mm-hmm. What is a Jedi who's still training?
Padawan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am still the Padawan, so training another one is just going to screw things up. But I can start like really low level and help those people. And maybe someday we'll do a beginner's, what the JPEG Raw was initially instead meant, do the JPEG show. Number one thing, find the reset button, play with everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say that you cannot hurt it. You can always reset it.
Find the reset button. Because I have before, like when I was at a sporting event, helped somebody by putting their camera in a certain mode. I said, shoot like this. And then later they come back to me and said, oh, my images are not working. And they had changed something that didn't work well with the mode I put them in. Mm-hmm. It's like, let me just set you back to how you were.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, have that reset button so you can get back to where you know. Because you can set it up and be, you know, bad. All of a sudden, set up your white balance. You're shooting JPEG, you set your white balance to the wrong setting, and now all your images are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, I got another. So tonight we had the lens cap thing, whatever. That was right, just a rehash. We had the lens hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we had I got two more. That's the only thing, two I've showed, right?
Yep.
I got a new lens to show you.
Okay.
Actually, I have two new lenses to show you, but we'll do
it's a Sony, right?
It's not a Sony. I'll show you this first one. So are you into macros at all, Tim?
No, not much.
You're going to want to be after this.
Yeah. Thanks.
Maybe not. So this is a Leica 24 millimeter, so it's pretty wide, f/14 macro lens. And oh, wow. again, we're not going to have sound here because it probably have music in it. This guy's got almost $600,000 of his $10,000 goal, and basically it is a long snoot. They're showing a whole bunch of what it can do with video wise. A long snoot of a lens. 24 millimeters with LEDs on the end of it. So,
that one freaked me out. I just saw on the other one, the snake.
Yeah. LEDs on the end of it. And it is waterproof. Leica, I think is what AD says. Waterproof up to a certain point. There is a USB port on the lens itself.
But a USB port on the lens?
Yeah. So if you, oh, I wish I should have stopped. Something right just there. Went okay.
by. Oh, that's, oh my God, look that, at the length of that lens.
That thing right there is a USB port. Now, why is there a USB port there? For power for the lights.
Right.
So
right.
you are going to have to power the lights through that port.
That's right. You can have like one of those accessory battery packs
right.
for a phone charger.
And somehow you got to attach it to that. And you just, it's got this huge snoot. And, you know, that's showing the old way to do it. And here we're going to show the new way to do it here in just a second. As you can go right in through the stuff. Hold on.
That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So now the lens is extending. You're not moving the cat. So you would have the camera body on a tripod and the lens is extending out.
Yeah, but the lens doesn't move in and out. The lens oh, okay.
so it, you have
it's
to move.
Fixed. Yeah, you have to move. So it is fixed, but you can get a little bit closer to stuff that you couldn't before. As AD said, when I said it's F14, it's only F14.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. So not sure this is something I'm going to buy, but.
Well, how much is it?
Yeah, so let's see what their
Kickstarter pricing it for.
What is HK? Is that Hong Kong?
Hong Kong?
Yeah, that looks expensive, like $1,300. Okay, oof. About U.S. dollars, $1,400. There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm okay for now.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is not going to...
Wow.
not going to be something that I'm going to get, but it is a very interesting macro thing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, we're putting I think that's pretty cool to put the lights on the end of it.
Yeah, I think that's good. So now, F14, you need to have light.
Correct.
So now you're creating your own light.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's.
Two to one. Yeah. I wouldn't have enough use cases for it, but there you go.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I wouldn't have. Now, how the heck do you transport that? That looks like you'd be afraid to snap it in half.
Yeah, well, I guess you'd have to put it, you know, it's probably not longer than, I guess it's longer than a 70 to 200, but maybe not too much longer. It doesn't say there the length of it. Probably says somewhere in this. Anyway, if you want to check it out, it's on Kickstarter. It's just look for that. AD phonetically spelled it for me. Leowa. There you go. Search for Leowa 24 millimeter out there on Kickstarter, and you can see it. And if you want to spend $1,400, you too can have one. Not something that I'm going to buy.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Interesting find. I'll say that.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So three cool things tonight. Now, I got one more. I got one more cool thing, and I didn't check the price on this one, so we'll check it together. This is one that I might actually, if I can find it, where is it? I might actually buy this one. Depending on the price, we'll have to find out what the price is. And that is the Steadify. So the Steadify is a belt that you wear around.
Okay.
It has a pole that when you're not having it up like that, it'll kind of lay to the side.
Okay.
So here, we'll play this little video as we can watch it. And again, with no audio. And they go through their little thing. But anyway, and then it comes back up and you have a little holder there where you can, you know, lay your lens or your camera or your binoculars or whatever else you want and steadify it, you know. And
steadify it. Is that a new verb?
It as their verb, yes. So I wouldn't make this climb because I'm afraid of heights, but you know, if you want to. So I can't, it's not going to be something where you're going to do a long exposure. So it's not, in my mind.
No,
you know,
no. It's not a rock solid tripod.
Yeah,
you're still
it's not
breathing.
A tripod replacement for that, but it could be a, in some cases, a monopod replacement. You know, if you're out there shooting,
yes.
If you're out there shooting the sports or something, if it doesn't look too dorky, you know, you can be out there with that thing and,
I like the idea also for like video.
There's a good example of it. So you can see right there, it's around his waist. Your waist is what's holding it. So It does. Right,
and he's got a 7200 on there. So instead of using that monopod to the lens, you have it to the AD, to your waist.
And AD picked up on when he's coming out of the airplane. AD picked up on it was the Peak Design camera bag that he had laid down and placed that in there. So you wonder, there's a little bit of back and forth going on there. Do they talk about price for this thing? Oh, here, and you're showing out. You couldn't put a tripod there because it's all marshy.
No, he's going to try and put the tripod down. Yeah. The whole camera's going to sink.
Here they give you a nice little handy, where does Steadify excel? And, you know, tell you all that. But where do they have a price? I'm going to get back to you on price. I don't see a price. Maybe somebody can do research as we're talking about it and look and see how much does Steadify cost. And Gary says, I could jerry-rig something like that, make it my own thing. Yeah, so this would have to be fairly inexpensive to make it worthwhile. Oh, and AD says, my 3D printer could even make one.
There you go.
Print your own.
I don't know if it would be cheaper.
I don't think that it's very expensive to print stuff with I don't know what the 3D printer cost itself, but my understanding of the actual printing is the materials and the electricity doesn't add up to as much as you think it would.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
I don't own one yet. I wouldn't get the use yet.
Yeah, I love my monopod that I have. I have two main tripods, and I have really come to using the second one, which is the Enduro, Enduro whatever that one that we got that Ali way back in the day tipped me off to, and I bought that one. I really liked it. It's great for most of my lenses, and it's lightweight, and that's what I use most of the time. Speaking of that, I mentioned that I have two lenses to talk about tonight, Tim.
Okay.
So, you know, as I get into the birding, so what is your longest lens? Let me ask you.
I have a 100-400.
100-400. What is the aperture?
I think it's 4.5 to 5.6.
4.5 to 5.6. Okay.
I can't look at it right now because my cousin has it.
So 400 millimeters. Mine was a, without any teleconverters, so let's skip the teleconverters.
Right.
Without teleconverters, mine's a 120 to 300, 2.8. And it's a decent lens. It's a Sigma, because Nikon did not make something that was, 100 to 300-ish, 2.8. And that's what I was really wanting, is that 2.8. It's good for sports. It's good for a lot of things to do. But if you're getting into any kind of wildlife, you can always use more reach. There's even a 600 millimeter, you always want more reach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking, I haven't bought a new lens in a long time, and I've been looking and looking for a new lens and something with a little more reach, but still reasonably priced. Before I show you that, I mentioned that I bought the Sidekick, the Wimberly Sidekick.
Right.
Okay. I showed you that. Let me show you that again.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to do over again, I probably would have bought the full gimbal. So the Wimberly Sidekick, can y'all see this? Yeah. Let me go to...
Yeah, I think last week we looked at this, because then you showed me the Osmo also.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a shot that's just me for just a second. So, because I want to show you something with this. So the way this works is you take your normal ball head... This is my smaller tripod with an arc Swiss, top.
Mm-hmm.
You put it into the little groove like that.
Okay.
Little groove that's on the side of your...
Right. So it doesn't spin anymore.
On the ball head, yeah. And then you lock down your ball head. All right. Whoops, wrong way. Oh, no, wrong way.
No, you're going the right way.
There we go. Lock down your ball head. And then this little guy has a little lip on it. The little Wimberly Sidekick, just slide that in there. You didn't have to slam it like I did. Then you lock that down, and I don't have it level. Now you mount your camera to the side, the full gimbal is going to have it most likely right here, or do you do have a side one? And what that gives you is, you know, you leave the base free where you can swivel, but it gives you, once you balance that thing, and perfect balancing is where you can have your lens at any angle, let it go, and it'll stay there. So you can, you know, just with your pinky, with a, even a big lens, just, you know, pinky, just, you know, move that lens ever so slight. So it's really easy to move around, move up and down, and do all that. I do have some cases where the back of the camera will hit right here as I try and go up. Mm-hmm. Going down is pretty easy, but I will get that. I think if you had the full gimbal, you would have more play, but I can only go up so much before I'm going to hit here. So that works. I've really been pleased with this thing. I've used it with the Sigma 120 to 300. It will fit on this ball head. It does stress the ball head a little bit, but, you know, it does work. And on my bigger ball head, it's still pretty smooth. But neither one of the ball heads work nearly as well as having it on here and the mobility that you get with it.
Right.
Not going to be for long exposures and that kind of stuff, but this is more for having access where you can, you know, move around really good. Arc Swiss up here too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I'm saying that right.
I would think that would be good for like sports photography or
wildlife.
Sports photography, yeah. Wildlife.
If you're shooting birds, especially birds in flight or anything like that, you need to be able to move around a lot.
Right, exactly.
I guess you can put this on a monopod, but you'd have to put your ball head on a monopod. I don't know. For sports,
I think it wouldn't wind up like.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the weight would still come straight down, but it seemed to me that it would tilt a little bit. I would rather,
I don't know if I'd use this on a monopod. And the problem with a tripod is most sidelines won't let you set up a tripod.
Right.
So you probably won't be able to get that set up. So, anyway, going back to the lens. I bought a new lens.
Okay.
I'm going to show it to you. And it's not that macro lens. I bought...
Oh, my God. And you got the lens hood on to make it look bigger.
I do have the lens hood on to make it look bigger. And let me make it even look even more bigger.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So now I'm out to full length.
My
goodness.
Look at
that thing. That covers my whole head.
That's over 18 inches. That's more than a foot and a half extended. Right?
It's pretty big, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a whole lot of lens.
This is a whole lot of lens. So, what lens is this? This is the Nikon 200-500 f5.6, so it's 5.6, you know, but it's 5.6 throughout the range, 200 to 500.
Oh, 5.6, okay.
5.6, yeah, f5.6, which is a little slow, but, you know, for this range and this price, 5.6 is not bad. You go with some of the other choices in this range, and you're either going to have a variable aperture with this maybe 5.6 to 6.3, something mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
You're moving
like by 100, 400, exactly.
Or you're moving up to some very big dollars. So I got this came today. It is VR also, and it's supposed to have 4.5 stops of VR. So it's supposed to be Nikon's latest VR. It's for its size, Jan's asking, is it heavy for its size? No, I think it's a little bit heavier than my 120 to 300, maybe. It's in that same range. You could handhold this, but probably not for long. I wouldn't do much handholding with it. So I got this, and I was like, oh, I am going to run out before the show and slap this boy onto the sidekick and take some photos of the birds in the backyard. So I get out there and realize, Ron, there's no bird seeds. There's no birds. And then I go to mount this thing. And guess what? It's not Arca Swiss.
No, it's just meant for a tripod.
Yeah, it's just meant
I can't mount this. That's what my 7200 has.
I can't mount this. Same thing. Why wouldn't they just make every lens mount have, can't be that much more machining to do. Just make them all that way.
Now, you can't put an adapter on it?
Yeah, so that's what I had to buy tonight. That'll be here Friday.
but you didn't have it today to take the pictures.
So I went out,
have bird seed by then, too.
Yeah, I went out and looked for a plate to put on here.
Right.
You could buy the whole new lens collar, but good grief. That means going out.
Oh, they would sell the lens collar with the Arca Swiss on it?
Yeah, so if you go to Really Right Stuff, mm-hmm. you can buy a replacement lens collar with a new foot on it for $250.
The adapters.
All I want is a plate to put on the bottom here that is Arca Swiss, so I can, or Arc Swiss. If anybody, if I'm saying that wrong, just
No, I always call it the Aka Swiss also.
That's how I'm Mike talks. But that way I can that way I can mount it on there without having to I can't put it on the Wimberly. I mean, the Wimberly Sidekick at all. Yeah, I couldn't put it on there at all the way it is. I'd have to take the Sidekick off and put it on the regular ball head and screw it down.
Dave is giving some positive comments about the lens.
Yeah, so that's why I bought it, because I have read so many positive comments. You do have to deal with the 5.6. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not going to be – you're going to have to get a – you know, work with that.
Daylight, you're doing wildlife photography anyway. You're probably out in daylight for most of them.
But for the price and for what it is
– How much did you say it was?
It was $1,300.
Okay.
So it's not bad.
You could have bought that macro.
I could have. It only has one screw hole in the foot. I wish it had a second one.
Right.
When I mount that, plate here,
so it doesn't twist. Right.
I wish that there was two. I'm hoping that there's a guide there that will help it at the. I think there was a guide that will hit up against this bottom that will give it some support. But I really would feel better if there was a second screw hole in that. Once I hang it on to the side of.
You don't want it twisting downwards, yeah, right?
Hold on.
What size lens is on that on the filter?
What?
So is that 77 or 82?
Does it even say? I don't know. It's a good question. But this is the first lens I bought.
Now you got to go out and buy yourself a UV filter.
There you go.
Look at a cheap one. There you go.
Boom! Bigger than my head.
You got to get yourself a cheap $15 lens cover.
One hand,
look at that.
Oh, and I got to look in there. One hand, I put it in there. So I'm looking forward to taking some wildlife shots with that. In good light, you can even use it for sports. I did, while I was out there, I couldn't put it on a tripod. The Sidekick. I did handhold it and take some shots, and the focus was pretty fast. It's not probably quite as fast as my 7200. Well, it's definitely not as fast as my 7200. Mm-hmm. Probably not quite as I think it was on par. The little bit of testing I did, on par with that Sigma 120-300. So, but I'm really not going to get to use it much until Friday, whenever the plate arrives.
So I just work a lot of hours this week then.
Why? So I get home when it's dark?
Yes, exactly. Well, if you work a lot, I mean, I imagine dark for you down there is probably after 8:30 now.
Yeah. So Gary, tell me, look on the inside of the 95 millimeter.
95 millimeter. Wow.
95.
Wow. Yeah. That's a whole lot of lens up front.
That is a whole lot of lens up front. It already has dust on it. All right, so that was my new addition. I did have, last week you talked, Tim, about your, or was it 2 weeks ago, your loop deck?
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have shown this before.
Yes, you did.
This is the stream deck. So what I'm doing with this is, I have,
pre-programmed
Lightroom. Premiere, Photoshop, and Audition, and then that guy way over there is VMix, which what I use for the show. It doesn't really work with VMix right now, but what I'm doing with these guys is when I'm in the program. So let's say when I'm in Audition or Premiere, I'm slowly setting up macros or keystrokes, for example. Mm-hmm. Like if I will almost set the keyboard aside. So you could do this with some of the stuff you can do with your keys too. So this is not a necessary tool, but let's say you're editing and I'm in Lightroom or I'm in this case in Premiere and I have something where I want to do the cut, do a cut and then switch back out of the cut. I can just hit a button. So I got my mouse in one hand, this thing in the other, hit cut, hit and go back out of cut and, I'm editing and going doing stuff like that. I can go into the, what is it? The auto timeline, where you're looking at the timeline based on the audio time or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do that kind of stuff. When I'm in Premiere, I can see what some of the things. I'll tell you what some of the things are that I have set up. Cut, play, export media, where, you know, I want to hit the button to export the media. So I'm just starting to set these up. In addition, I have a thing where I can do the noise capture, noise cancellation or noise removal, copy paste, because I find that Tim makes very funny comments sometimes. So I might want to copy that comment out of Audition and paste it into a file I'm creating. I also have, like, I might select something like, you know, Mike hits his mouse, his mic. And so I'm editing the audio. I'll go through and I'll find a little section. I hit a button and it silenced that section. Do the stuff like that. And in Lightroom, if you have tasks that you're doing over and over again, I don't know if I've set much up for Lightroom yet. But you can really streamline. I'll set up a Zoom, which is pretty easy to do with the keyboard too.
Yes.
But some of those tasks that you're doing over and over again, and you can layer some of these things. So it's called the Elgato Stream Deck. It normally retails for, I think, about $150 on Amazon. You can find sales for less when they had Amazon Prime Day. I think I got it for 90-something bucks or maybe even less than that. And it is really, if you do a lot of editing and a lot of repetitive tasks, you can start streamlining some of that stuff and automating some of that stuff with one button could actually launch multiple things.
Now, how did you find it?
Actually, from two friends. AD has been using it for a while, and he has sung praises about it and told me how he's using it. And it, I was almost bought on it, but $150, I said, I don't know if I want to spend $150. Then another show I watched was talking about it, and they had picked it up during Amazon Prime Day, and that's where I saw it was on sale. So I said, crap, it's on sale. I'm over the edge now. I'm going to go get it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any program, basically it's, you know, because it can use your hotkey. Some programs it's designed to work with directly. Other programs, if there's hotkeys, so let's say you hit Control Shift P or Control Shift Alt something else. You know, sometimes those keys are kind of hard to hit multiples like that, or Control Shift, you know, F1 or something like that. To do that, you can set up a hotkey in here that you press that button and it does it for you, or you can even layer it. So think about Gary's question on my 95 millimeter. Yeah. I'll go back and look at it again, Gary. You can go back and set that up and, you know, streamline some of your editing. Does Gary want me to look at it again? It was 95 millimeter. I don't think I'm going to buy a filter for it. But anyway, Stream Deck from Elgato. I think that's... Elgato. And we're still on me, so let's go back to us.
Oh, yes.
There you go. All right. Well, we had multiple new products, something new for Mike, and Best Buy.
Yes, Applied Accessories 95 millimeter snap on front lens cap. So it is definitely 95 millimeter.
And this bag almost seems too small to fit the camera.
So now, obviously, that doesn't fit in any of your camera bags. At least I don't think it does.
That's definitely not with the lens hood.
That's a good question.
And, you know, the other thing with a lens hood like that is even when you take it off, it takes up a lot of space. But I think
it's thicker. Yeah.
Yeah. Even, you don't necessarily have to store it separately. You can just reverse it, of course, and stick it on there.
Yeah, that's how you see.
But it's still going to make the front. It's still going to make the front even bigger. I mean, that's just huge. Once it's like that, it's not that much longer than my 120 to 300. And I'll tell you that my 120 to 300, it barely fits in most of my bags, and it is heavy as crap. This is heavy. This does have a lock where you can lock it so the lens won't slide in and out.
Slide out.
Yeah. So when you're traveling, you probably should lock that down if it has any capability of moving. So you don't do that. But, yep, big old lens.
Men with their toys.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's all I had for tonight, Tim. I should mention that. Let's do this. You know what? Hold on. I've been, like, last week I said, hey, I'm going to fix this thing because remember the icons are messed up. I'm going to add Podbean and all that. So when you want to subscribe, you go here to jpedrod.com/subscribe. And these little icons were all broken. And I was going to add Podbean it. So for whatever reason, whenever I pull this up, it doesn't do it on there. But bam, now it's all broken a new way. This was working, by the way. But whenever I bring this computer up, for some reason, it brings a cache version up of the site. And so I did make progress. It was fixed, and now they broke it. But if you want to subscribe to the show, go to jpegderaw.com/subscribe. And here we have all kind of different ways. Audio, you can subscribe. iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, which is now listed there. Or, of course, you can RSS subscribe. Video is iTunes, video large and small. YouTube, Vimeo, Podbean again. And you can also subscribe through RSS. You know, you get the show. I am posted, I think, yesterday, 216. Next week, I'm going to be 217, so about a week off. That'll catch up because next week we're not doing a show, so we'll catch up. And also, don't forget to check out the JPEGderaw photo review show, which we're doing show number 32, I think, this 31, 32 this weekend. You can get that show also on iTunes, Video Large, Video Small, YouTube, and Vimeo. We'll generally do those every other Tuesday. We have a new one coming up this every other Sunday. We have a new one coming up this Sunday. So check that out over on YouTube and on Facebook. We stream live to both places. And you should subscribe to either one of those. We'd also love to have you join enter the photo contest. That is over on jpegderaw/contest. Here you have a link to enter straight from the website or go over to Facebook and enter there. There is, as somebody out in chat was asking earlier, they had trouble entering. There is a size limit. So let's click on this. And you can see the August theme is open. And you got to agree to the little thing. And there's a 2 meg size limit. So make sure you shrink the size of your file. Because if you start sending me 20 gigabyte files, you're going to eat up my storage space pretty fast on my web server. So you do need to shrink it down to 2 meg or below. If you're having trouble with that, email me at podcast@jpegderaw and I can provide you some help. Or I can look at maybe increasing that a little bit. But if you're getting really big file sizes, I'm not going to go that high. It's just going to chew up too much space. But you can enter this way. Or if you're on Facebook, that is the easier way to enter. And I have links over there on this to the beginners group and the regulars group where you can go there. The albums are pinned at the top of the groups. And we start a new one every month. So we're only 7 days into the August one. So get your entries in before the end of August. You have all the way to the end of August. It is photos need to be taken in the month of the contest. So photo taken in August is what you need to enter. All right. So until next show, which we're not here next week. So 2 weeks. Keep it raw. Keep shooting.
I'm not here in 2 weeks either.
Oh, we're not here in 2 weeks.
Yes. 2 weeks out.
Okay.
I'm still driving at this point in 2 weeks on the way back.
I need to change our booking calendar because we may have a guest coming up before long. Need to make sure that they know that. So until 3 weeks from now, keep it raw, keep shooting, and check us out on Sunday where we do the photo review show. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night.